You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
This passage of Scripture in Ephesians 1, 17 to 23 is the foundation behind this series. So I want to ask everybody to stand, and I want to ask us to read it together. It'll be up on the screen also if you can't follow along. It starts here on this big one on the left, goes to the right, down here to the corner, and then here. And I want to ask if when we get to trust him and there's that little dash, if we could kind of take a joyful ha, ha, like that together. Thank you. Of his work in us who trust him. And then we'll go on to endless energy. So let's read it together. I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. Not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, the message. Sit down. I meant that kinder, like, okay, now you can sit down. We're asking everyone to memorize that in that version. Brian's asking all the kids to memorize it. We're asking the teenagers to memorize it. We're inviting all of us, memorize it. Memorize it. Hold on to this beautifully creative rephrasing of some ancient truths in Ephesians. The questions that you asked at the very beginning when we started talking about this series back in December helped shape where this morning is going to go. And so I just want to thank you for that. Questions like, what exactly is faith? Where does my doubt play into my relationship with? How do I stay in this tough, fill in the blank? Some questions were asked on hopelessness. And those, we hold those. They're important to us. We're not just asking for them and then discarding them. They really matter to us, and they literally did help shape this morning. So thank you. My friend Brady is going to come share. So come on up. This is a guy I've gotten to spend quite a bit of time with in different circles, different venues, different places, and thankful that he's willing to do this piece of sharing this morning with us.
When Jason asked me if I'd be interested in sharing, I thought that certainly doesn't sound like very much fun. But I'll consider it because I like you. In reference to the death and resurrection of Jesus, he said we talk a lot about Friday and we talk a lot about Sunday, but we rarely talk about Saturday. So here I am to share my Saturday with you. My Saturday started in mid-October. When we ended up at Phoenix Children's Hospital with our 11-month-old daughter, Olivia, or Livy as we like to call her. Over the next 48 hours, we would receive wave after wave of bad news from various doctors, ultimately finding out that Livy has cancer, and it spread to multiple places in her little body. I must have repeated the word no 1,000 times over those couple of days. It did not feel real. It felt like a bad dream, yet it felt familiar. Because 5 years ago, we walked this same journey with Heidi's younger sister, who eventually lost her battle to cancer. We would spend the next couple weeks in the hospital as Livy recovered from surgery and began her first round of chemo. During that time, I slowly came to grips with the fact that this is actually happening. Saturday is a weird, because you're trying to make sense of what happened in anticipation of what may happen. Saturday feels like the longest day ever, and you experience more emotion than you even knew existed. Saturday is a vulnerable place to be, and is a hard space to be in, yet there are moments of incredible joy and beauty along the way that cannot be ignored. During this season, there have been moments God has clearly spoken to me. 3 days into this fiasco, I'm walking to my car at PCH and clearly sense God saying to me, "This healing process is for you too." I immediately began weeping, overwhelmed by the presence of God, right there in the parking lot. My heart began racing. What does this mean? I thought. Does this mean she's going to be healed? Is there something about myself that I'm not seeing? What does this mean? A few weeks later, I find myself here in this auditorium. And as we were worshiping, I distinctly hear him again. He says, "Watch and worship." What? Watch and worship? I still don't understand the meaning of either of these, but I cling to them with every fiber of my being, because I know they're straight from heaven. And this is how God seems to work. He gives me enough to get my attention and then asks, "Will you trust me?" On Saturday, you deal with a lot of fear. You deal with a lot of what ifs. I used to think that the love of God means there's an absence of fear, but that's not necessarily true. Rather, I'm discovering that in the depths of my fear, I experience the depths of his love. He doesn't come like a magic genie to eradicate my fear. No. He comes, meets me in the depths of my fear, and offers me his peace. And I'm reminded that he is a good father, and that he did not cause this, and that he's redeeming it. I'm reminded that my hope is built on nothing less than his son's blood and righteousness. I'm reminded that of all that he has already brought me through and redeemed in my life, I'm reminded that he has given us, you, this body of believers, and how well you have loved us through this. I've experienced too much redemption and love to question his goodness. Saturday's hard, y'all, but Sunday's coming, and I'm fully aware that what I hope Sunday looks like, he may not have in mind, but I trust that he'll redeem that too. I'll leave you this morning with a quote from Henry Nouwen that I keep trying to forget, but I can't. Every time we make a decision to love someone, we open ourselves up to great suffering, because those we love most cause us not only the greatest joy, but the great pain. The greatest pain comes from leaving. The pain of leaving can tear us apart. Still, if we want to avoid the suffering of leaving, we will never experience the joy of loving. And love is stronger than fear, and life is stronger than death, and hope is stronger than despair. We have to trust that the risk of loving is always worth taking. Sunday cannot come soon enough, but until then, I will watch and I will try to worship.
What if we don't have Saturday? You know, every week there's a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday. And in our Christian inheritance, we have names for some of our days of the week. We have Ash Wednesday, 46 days before Easter, when we start that progression towards Easter Sunday. We have what's called Monday, Thursday. We have what's called Good Friday. and we have Resurrection Sunday. But we don't have an official name for Saturday, so I thought maybe in the lineage of naming names, how about Sucky Saturday? Or whatever appropriate S monitor that you want to put in there for Saturday. Think with me about those earliest followers of Jesus. It was the day after the gruesome crucifixion and cross and death, and the one who was supposed to be the Messiah is now dead. Imagine with me the darkness, the despair, the absolute unknown, the deepest grieving emotions known to us humans. They had been given a few trinkets from Jesus, and that was all they could hold on to, right? If you destroy this temple, I will rebuild it again in 3 days. That made perfect sense. I have to go to my Father, and you can't stay here. I'm going somewhere you can't go. He gave them those couple of statements. He gave them some others, but they were in the midst of some deep, dark emotion. And for today, us, what emotions do we feel in this concept of Saturday? Darkness, despair, unknown, deep emotions of grieving. We didn't get to witness what they got to witness, and so we're left to cling to some promises and to watch some people that have gone before us. We have Sunday, as Brady alluded to, so we kind of have cheated, and we know the end of the story. So in the midst of our Saturday, we know that Sunday is coming, and we are thankful for that. So what? So what is what I ask us. So what? What difference does this concept of Saturday make in our everyday walking around? Well, I invite you, if you have a Bible, or if you can open a Bible, to look at Hebrews chapter 11. John, are we at 1 and 2 and 3? So, the beginning of Hebrews 11. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. And then a progression of story after story of great woman after great woman and great men and children who are lifted up for their faith. And we hear in these words some of their beautiful faith stories. And then you get to verse 13, and verse 13 is similar to verse 39, and so I want to read a little bit of those two verses. I'm actually reading out of the Message, and I also brought my New Living Translation, and I also brought my favorite New American Standard, and so I'm going to jump around, and you guys can deal with that. In verse 13, each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. And then I'm going to jump to verse 32. I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, that's a familiar name to us recently. Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips, and yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood, stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best as they could on the cruel edges of the world. And then here's the link to 13. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. Whew! That is beautiful. That is the reminder that we are meant to live together, that this whole thing is communal. I think about some typical days for me. I take Nora, my daughter, to school, and I'm coming back down 21st Avenue, and I get over the first speed bump, and then boom, there's the kid with the curly afro trying to run to school and get there on time every single day. I'm over the second speed bump. I'm at the stop sign. I'm turning right onto Orangewood, and there's older kid with younger kid all along the sidewalk walking their little kid, their little brother or sister to school. There's moms walking their kids to school, dads walking their kids to school. And if I'm lucky and the timing is right, right over Squaw Peak, I see the first burst of golden sun. And I am reminded in those that you too, somewhere, some of you are seeing that sunrise, that you are connecting with some people. And my face or my eyes sometimes drift to your face. I think about how every time I see Tobin Keck, he is Christopher and Elizabeth's oldest little boy. He stops what he's doing and he sprints towards me and embraces me with a full hug, as if his very breath depended on it. Every time we get a kiss, every time we get a hug, every time we're invited over to somebody's house and share a meal with them, when someone says, hey, could I tell you my story? Would you listen to me? If this is all this communal living that we are in together. When one loses a life, we all lose a life. When a child is born, we all celebrate and enter fully in. This is life together that we are being invited into as we read through Hebrews 11. Unspeakable beauty connects us all. This is also this Saturday concept where it gets a little messy. For me, I've had quite a few Saturdays. In fact, I feel like it's maybe more accurate for me to say I live in the tension of Saturday quite often. Just my opinion, but maybe as a nation, we are even in the beginnings of a Saturday. And we might actually address that later on in this series. And then I think about us as a family here, as a fellowship. Depending on how long you've been here or how intimately acquainted you are with the workings of Open Door, we've been in a Saturday. We've been in, maybe you would say, a long one. Like, not 24 hours, but a long Saturday. I was thinking about back in December when I first asked Brady, would you consider sharing? A lot of times we hear the end of the story. We hear this Resurrection Sunday, we hear like, okay, it wrapped up real neat and tidy, and the reason I didn't get those 14 jobs I applied for is because I got this one. And so that's part of why I said, Brady, would you share now? Would you invite us into what you're in the middle of now? Because there's still no answer. There's still no guarantee. There's still no beautiful end script yet. So I thought about that, and I thought about me. I'm on staff at Open Door, and I interact with a lot of people that you know, who are some of my best friends, who for 17 years have matured me like none other, and have grown me up and stood by me and encouraged me and hurt me and been hurt by me. And this might be a little clunky because I didn't know how much to say or how little to say, and so just let me be a little clunky with this part. The eight of us as elders are in a little funky Saturday and have been. And me personally, I've been in some of this with some of my brothers who I sit with every week, who I walk with, who I love, who are tenderhearted to me, but we've been in this. And I've had some times where I've hiked my favorite mountain over on Shaw Butte. And said to the Lord, I'm just done. I can't go back into it again. I can't go back again and say what I'm saying and not be heard and not be understood, and I don't want to keep doing this. And he says, Jason, would you just stay? No, I don't want to stay. I don't want to stay. God, I'm done. Just stay. No way out, no promise, no word from the Lord of stay, because then it'll get to be this. Just this little stay. And then I get down the mountain, and Jim or Tom or Sam, sometimes Shannon or Louise, sometimes Dennis, will remind me where my hope is. Sometimes I just want to take my ball and go home, play all by myself. I don't want your heads to spin like, okay, who is it? Who's Jason upset with? All of us probably could stand up here and say, we've had some Saturday funky with each other. And I'm just telling you that today, I'm still right in the middle of it. I don't want to go. I don't really want to take my ball and go home. I want to say, God, what do you have in this for me? And so I'll get down the mountain, or I'll even be with one of those brothers or one of my sisters encouraging me, and I'll just say, God, what is in this for me? I want to know. So I share that to say, I'm in the middle of this too, with no clear way out and yet great hope to say, my hope is in you. My hope is in you. We kind of know the end of the story, and so it does feel in some senses like cheating, but every Sunday, there's a Sunday that comes. Every week we get this. So Hebrews 12, let's keep going in this story. Hebrews 11, story after story of faith, of trust, and yet it is dependent on us staying the course with each other and coming together. I think I'm going to go out of this one, my New American Standard. Therefore, and anytime there's a therefore that you're reading in your Bibles, would you be willing to pause and not read another word and first go back and read the therefore? And so please, this week, if you haven't recently or ever, read chapter 11 of Hebrews. And get acquainted with those stories. They're beautiful. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, has sat down and is still at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. This phrase, fix your eyes on Jesus, this intentional gaze to move away from what you're fixed on to Jesus, has a couple interesting meanings to it. So there's that one. There's the turning your eyes from your situation or your circumstance or your thing or your hard person, literally turning your eyes to Jesus. But there's also this thought that you would turn your mind to another. So it's not only the physical act of, okay, I'm going to turn my eyes to Jesus. There's also a lot going on up here that can be turned to Jesus. Turn your mind to the one who both started and finished the race. So some questions. Rhetorical. Why are you in this Saturday, right now? What got you here? What are the potential ways home? Not around it to avoid it, but to stay fully in it and experience that range of emotion, the depths of despair. Stay in it. Experience it all. What do you believe about this concept of Saturday? Do you believe that you did something to cause yourself to be right where you are? You believe you have that kind of power? You believe it's your responsibility to work your way out of this jam that you're in? You believe that maybe your sin caused it? Your choice or your non-choice? Do you believe that you are past healing? Do you feel like maybe you don't get to hear from God anymore? Or maybe you're not eligible for that full blessing of God? Saturday isn't going to fix it. This concept, it's not going to fix it. Let me just stay in Saturday. God, give me 26 hours. Maybe 26 hours will do it for me. 28 hours, I'll stay 30. Maybe two Saturdays back to back. And then, okay, it'll be over, right? We'll be through it. The relationship will be healed. The fog will lift. The chokehold that causes it to be difficult to take a breath, that'll go away, right? The promises that we want are not always the promises that come true for us in this Saturday space. Saturday does allow us to turn our eyes and our mind to being fixated on someone different. It does give space for a full perspective shift. It's the place where you can become aware you are not alone. You are not the only one who is going through this or who has gone through this. It is this from Romans 5 that we were in earlier a couple months ago. Romans 5, 3, 4, and 5. I brought this Bible. I might as well use it once. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. Logically, it's tough to find space for that sometimes. They help us learn to endure. Okay. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. Another word for that is hope. And this expectation, this hope, will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. So for us, practically, this whole deal, what would change in your life if you had a name for it? If you could call it Saturday? What would happen in your relational stuckness, in your endless head chatter, in your doubt, in your fear, and your hopelessness? In your why after why after why after why after why? What would change if you could have space to hold hope that God was in the Saturday? He was fully, is fully in your Saturday. Not just on Resurrection Sunday. He is in that space with you. And like Brady, you're shouting, no, 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 1,000 times. And in a second, God whispers one little phrase that you can hold on to. Just like that, it can change. And when you can't, when despair seems to be winning and the darkness has you so clouded and foggy, would you find someone else from this great cloud of witnesses to hold hope for you? Because I get down from the mountain and I've got to go find one of my brothers or my sisters to say, okay, tell me again. Tell me again. Hold that for me. Remind me that I am not crazy, that I'm not wrong for feeling all these things. Just okay. And then their words breathe in hope to me. They breathe in great, great hope. This whole life is set up for us to be communal, and our connection is way more than we understand. We were singing that song about breath. Oh my gosh, the breath concept. I can't go on without you. You can't go on without me. So in conversations after conversations after conversations with my close friends in the last, I'm just going to say, a couple months, it seems that the onslaught is pretty continual. And I find myself more often than not wordless, and just to say, I'm with you. It's about all the words I've got. I'm with you. We want a solution to everything. We want a solution. We want clarity. We want a nice, objective, tidy little box to put everything in. We want to objectify it. We want to say, okay, this is what it is. We want an answer. We want to have that figure. I got it figured out. And that is not faith. That is not faith. Longing for clarity and banking everything, just give me this answer, clarify this, make sense of this. That is not hope and faith. It is not uncertainty. Faith is leaning into what we cannot see. Faith is drenched in our absolute dependence on a living God who pushed that stone out of the way and called forth to his son, Hey, I've been apart from you for 24 hours. That's long enough for me. Can we come out and go play together? We've got some love to go give. We've got places to go explore. That's where faith enters in, that kind of dependence. Faith is everything that moves me to worship. When wave after wave hits you, and you find yourself barely able to make out the shoreline, when you can't make sense of it again, when you desire to keep those sheets pulled up over your head, when the head traffic is winning and convincing you you're something other than enough, when you haven't heard the loud voice of God, the whisper of God, and there's only silence. When everyone around you is seemingly on top of the world, when life abounds with chaos, when you truly feel like running away is the best option. When your eyes fill with tears at the thought of him or her. When your heart feels like it will implode. When your cynicism is the only grid you can see through. May you in those spaces be filled with the hope. The best hope. The only hope. Jesus is not just the Sunday school answer. Jesus is real and alive and in our midst and ready to say, guys, I'm with you. Let's go. Let's keep going. He's not going to snatch despair every single time away from us. He's not going to make the cloud all of a sudden go away. But he isn't going to leave us abandoned and alone. And so may you cling to one other person who has their head above the waterline when your face is thin. May you believe in the redemption of all things. And may you come to believe that Saturday, while it does have its place in your story, may you believe that Sunday and the endless joy is on the horizon. May you choose to face your Saturday with reckless anticipation of the faithful who have gone before. And may you embrace a deep faith that has open hands walking into every day with the posture of, Father, what is in this for me? And together, may we hold this statement, he is in charge of it all, and he has the final word on everything. Could everybody stand? My brothers, my sisters of Open Door, may we go with these words tucked into our heart that your name is higher, your name is greater, and my hope is in you. Your word unfailing, your promise unshaken, all my hope is in you. May you walk out with that lingering in your head and heart, and have a great week. Amen.